Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, 3 weeks ago, kind of on top of the world, Chris, looking at this season as, wow, the playoffs are all but a certainty. And 3 weeks in a row, you know, we've had, what? Well, I guess it's not, yesterday wasn't technically a loss, but you feel like three losses in a row. They probably needed to take care of business one of those weeks, and they didn't for a number of reasons. I feel like this season now is becoming what we thought it would early on, a depleted roster of that needs an infusion of talent. And look, there were some coaching issues yesterday, I felt, but we are what we are now, right? And Parcells always said that, you are what your record says you are. This was one for the taking. We did not take advantage of it. And now we're in a situation, Chris, where we absolutely have to beat Washington and Washington and probably beat the Colts to get into the playoffs. But enough of that. What's your take on yesterday, bud? What's your overall feeling right now?
Well, let me ask you this. If Adoree Jackson and Xavier McKinney play yesterday, do you think they lose that game?
No, not at all.
So it's not really we are what we are. I mean, they probably would have won this game. Injuries is taking a major toll, too. You know, they're not a very talented roster. And you compile up, you know, with injuries, you pile it up with injuries. And it's like, you know, you saw guys out there that can't even tackle in the secondary yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know, did it feel like a loss? It definitely felt like a loss to the locker room. I felt like the loss with the players. You could just talk to them. But the bottom line, it still wasn't a loss. It was a tie. And did they blow opportunities? Yeah, so did Washington. So, this coaching staff, especially Wink, is doing with this talent to have them at 7-4-1. Now we'll get into the game. What could have? Some things could have been different. But you know, if they're healthy, they probably win this game. You know, you're playing with guys that are coming off the street and practice squads. You know, you got guys like Nick McCloud, you got Zion Gilbert's out there, you got Jason Pinnock, who's just not a safety in this league, a starting safety. You got Gilbert coming off the practice squad, did a couple good things, then you kind of saw why he's a practice squad guy. You got Nick McCloud, some good things, and then you see why he's a practice squad guy off the street. So, look, to me, it's, you know, to be 7-4-1 and still come out, you know, could they have won yesterday? Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. But they still didn't lose, you know, and they're still right there. Are they playing great football? No, but they lost 3 out of 4, one tie now and all that. But I don't think there's any question. If they're a healthy squad yesterday, and that, especially in that back end, they win this game, you know. So it is what it is, bro. I mean, it's tough. You know, what Wink is doing, and you got to give him credit, man. You know, they got a lot of pressure yesterday. Aziz was a big difference. Against an offensive line, they should have got pressure, and they did. But, dude, you know, it was just some big plays where, look, Jerry, they got 2 touchdowns, but they should have been tackles in the secondary. The Dotson touchdown was insane. You know, that was ridiculous. 2 missed tackles, and then McLaurin won against, you know, don't forget, Fabian Moreau is a guy that came in there and gave him some pretty good football, but he's not a starter either. You know, it would have been, you know, Aaron Robinson, so. And a lot of times it levels out, you know, it shows at certain points of games about guys that are coming off practice squads or coming off the street, man. And that's what the Giants have to deal with. It's not easy, man.
No, and I don't look at the defense as anything yesterday. I look at it like, wow, we kept them to 20. And you know, to go in the way they played the second half, I know Washington had that one drive where they went down the field, but for the most part, they absolutely shut them down in the second half.
Including overtime.
I look at all the chances this team had on offense and didn't get it done. I mean, the Feliciano taunting penalty, and I'll get into that, dude. The Darius Slayton drop where he caught it, and then when he brought it into his body, he dropped it. Richie James and Barkley running into each other. Kafka calling 3 straight pass plays when you kind of wanted to take a little more time off the clock. And luckily, I don't think that burned him because I think it was tie game at that point.
You're lucky it didn't burn him.
Right. It was like, wow. Three. Yeah. Okay, you missed on the bomb to Slayton. And then you throw another bomb down the right sideline. And then another pass went incomplete. It was like, Wow, three passes there, huh? 17 seconds off the clock. I just felt like there was so much on offense where I know our receivers are what they are, but I just felt like this game was there for them on offense and they didn't take advantage of it. It was, I came away so frustrated because we had it. I just felt like we freaking had it. And the Feliciano play, can we talk about that right now? Do you mind?
Good.
I'm sick of this taunting shit, Chris. Okay. The Dallas Cowboys can jump into the bucket after a touchdown and do whatever they want, and it's nothing, right? This was a guy flexing. Yes, he shouldn't have done it, but it is so subjective, and these referees inject themselves into these games, and it has such a major outcome on the end of the game. Like, should he have run up and flexed? No. But he was doing it to Slayton. It is so subjective, and they can call, I just think they can call taunting almost on any play. I don't know, Chris. That one to me was like, wow, you don't want to blame the refs, but holy crap, man. Wow. All right, so we're in field goal range. Now we're not. Feliciano should not have done it, but Chris, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, wow, here we go with the refs again with the taunting. Okay, so I guess we're out of field goal range now. All right, there's no definitive what's taunting, what's not. It's just, what does the ref feel like calling? He called it there, and we're screwed because of it. So, I don't know, man. I don't know how you felt about it, but
why put yourself in that situation, dude? You know, refs interpret it as a guy flexing in front of the commanders, and he interpreted it like that. You could argue that all day, but why even be put in that situation? The Cowboy thing, that's in the end zone after the touchdown. That's not in opponent's faces. That doesn't even count for taunting. Guys to take pictures in end zones, I have the interceptions now. So the Cowboy thing has nothing to do with this. They bang on the thing. They're not in an opponent's face. That's not taunting. Flexing, where you put a referee in a situation, was it the right call? I don't know, Jay. Was it in front of the commander's faces? I saw from the booth. I couldn't really tell. I don't know what the hell it was. But why even put yourself in that situation, dude? You're running down the field going like this, flexing, and a ref's interpreted as taunting. I don't know. Do you agree with the call? I don't know if I really agree with it. Did he do it in a player's faces? I don't know. If this commander's standing there and you're doing this, flexing with them standing there, the ref's going to interpret it as taunting. So I ain't blaming the refs with this one, bro. Why even put yourself in that situation? Why are you running 10 yards down the field flexing? I get you excited, but guess what? You rolled the dice a little bit. Refs thought you taunted him, and you got the flag. And Dable wasn't happy with it, dude. I can tell you that right after. Dable was not happy with it.
Yeah, I think the coach is always going to be harder on the player because, like you said, don't put yourself in the situation. But I don't know, man. I cannot take these referees doing this shit anymore, man. It's just tough to watch, dude. It's they put so much on themselves and inject themselves into the game. And it has an effect on the outcome. It's like, okay, next time you see somebody do something, is that taunting? I don't know, man. I agree to disagree on this one. It is what it is. But yes, I agree with you in that Feliciano, why do it, right? Why give the ref an opportunity to do it?
Yeah, that's the thing. You're giving the ref an opportunity to throw a flag, you know? And you saw Dable screaming at him. He felt the same way. Like, dude, what are you doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I get it. I know you know, even after the game, Feliciano was, I saw him in the locker room and he wasn't happy. He felt like that was a bullshit call. And okay, that's good. But the thing is that you put yourself in that situation, you know? And his intent was, you know, his intent wasn't to rub it in Washington's faces with the flexing motion. His intent was, he was celebrating with Slayton because Slayton gave the extra effort and moved the sticks. But here's the thing, Joe. You know, there's been a few times I've seen this year where they're throwing flags on guys. They kind of looked at a guy for like 2 seconds, they throw a flag. The league is emphasizing it all year. The thing is, why put yourself in a situation, bro?
The game is pretty much over at that point if they kick, if they score.
Look, this game came down to two plays. Heineke's rolling to his left on 4th and 4, which I thought Ron Rivera was crazy going for with the 2-minute warning and 3 timeouts, but he did. And at 4th and 4, and you know, and you got guys that a second string is not plastered with Curtis Samuel, boom, you got burnt. They stop him there, Jerry, the game's over.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, dude, because the defense held him in this game.
Yeah.
The defense they had so many stops, but they couldn't get that stop when they needed it. And a great play by Heineke and Curtis Samuel, but excuse me, that's a case of, you know, he's going to improvise, but Heineke, when he sees him rolling to his left, you got to plaster him there. They lost him. for second.
And I'll throw in the Slayton drop too, dude, because that's
yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, he's got, look, Darius has got to come down. He's not a all around pass receiver. Darius, it is what it is. He's going to make some plays. He's, you know, he's got to come down with that ball. He's the first to admit it. You know, but like you said, dude, look, there's a lot of surprise. I agree. The second vertical after that was like, what are we doing?
Right.
Why are we not trying to?
And it looked like it had such a low percentage on the sideline that too.
You know, you're not going to really fool him with two verticals. I mean, that's tough. You're asking for a lot there, you know?
Yeah.
And we get into the first half, you know, the play, what they did at the end of the first half to me was puzzling too, you know?
Well, I think they thought they had the first down. They didn't fight for it. And then, Jones went for the run. It's like, guys, call a pass there. What was that? That was
because
bizarre.
You had to clock the ball.
Right.
You know, if you're going to run, you don't get in. You have to clock it. So on third and one, you might as well take the shot. Look, I could tell the way Dable answered it in the post-game presser that he knew they kind of messed up there.
Yeah.
You know, I could tell Dable when he answers something. And, you know, they felt they kind of, they screwed it up there. They should have took the shot.
Yeah.
You know, and then you kick the field goal. If you don't convert. You know, but running with Daniel there, you don't have enough time. You're going to have to clock it anyway. So that was a mistake. No question about it. They could have been more aggressive there. Kafka and Dable, don't forget, when Kafka calls the plays and Dable could overrule it quick, you know, although it's very fast, I don't know, sideline communication-wise, but, you know, that hurt too. But look, the first series, Daniel fumbles, sets up the touchdown. You know, Moreau, who's starting to look like Moreau a little bit now, the guy that was released by, you know, Atlanta.
Yeah,
you know, and all that stuff, and I was to say that's the missed tackles. I didn't look at PFF yet. I don't know how many they had, bro, but it seemed like there was a ton of them yesterday.
30? I don't know. Julian Love is the only short tackler right now in the secondary.
Yeah, and they, you know, they still got stops. You know, at the end of regulation, they got stops in the overtime. That one play just really ruined their perfect second half. It really did. Got pressure. I mean, five sacks. Aziz was all over the place. Tibbs was all over the place. You know, they got pressure as they should against those tackles. Yeah. Just a shame because that one play with Heinicke there that kind of ruined their perfect second half.
I got a question for you. So Jones ended up, 25 of 31, very efficient, 200 yards. But do you feel like it seems like, okay, I don't want to say this because we just talked about two bombs that they took, but a lot of the game is so careful. I don't think it has anything to do with the lack of confidence in him as it does the weapons, right? It's more the weapons.
And the offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, they just doesn't have the receivers. I mean,
right.
I see a lot of people like, oh, they didn't trust Jones. Dude,
they're
throwing verticals and at the end of a game.
Right.
They're throwing a ball in the overtime. It's not they don't trust Jones. They don't trust the offensive line at times. They don't trust the receivers running right routes and getting open.
Right.
I mean, Jones has nothing to work with, man. He's got Darius Slayton and Bellinger in the flat to work with. I mean, and Barkley's just not a factor the last three games. He's just not a factor, you know.
He's
so
really
it's
not.
Tough, man. It's not easy because, you know, it's not a trusting with Daniel, you know. It's an overall process trust at times, you know. I think that's one of the reasons why Dable didn't want to go for it at 4th-and-3 in the overtime. You know, it's like, hey, do we really trust me?
Well, I didn't blame him for that. Chris, I didn't blame him for that at all.
Because if you don't make it there, your hand in Washington, very good field position, you could lose the game easily there.
And Chris, look what it took for them to get into field goal range, that pass to Richie James. I mean, that was, you talk about threading the needle. I thought it was intercepted.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a beautiful throw and a good catch by James. I give him credit, but look what it took to get there. Oh my God, it was a ridiculous pass. So when they punted there, I just thought, I don't blame you. Why give the game to Washington at that point? Because you would be giving it to them, especially with the defense.
If you don't convert. Yeah, it wasn't 4th-and-inches. It was 4th-and-3. You know,
right.
So I really didn't have a. I know a lot of people had a problem with that, including members of the media. They're like, "Oh, you're aggressive. All you, how do you not?" Well, I didn't have a problem with that. I had more of a problem, dude, with the first half. At the end of the first half, the play calling there. I should say, not so much the play, but not taking that shot in the end zone, third down. And the verticals at the end of regulation, you know, they tried the one with Darius. Should have been completed. Probably could have won the game if he comes down with it, right?
Yes.
Then they did the second vertical. Then the and I was like, yeah. Oh man, we're leaving a lot of time. You know,
17 seconds. 17 seconds is all they took off.
Yeah, for a team that doesn't throw many verticals, they did two in a row.
Right.
I thought that was a little suspect, you know, and they left a lot of time, but the defense did get the stop. And so yeah, look, you can nitpick all you want, but we could second guess a lot of stuff. I mean, it's legit, you know, some legit questions, no question about it.
When Bredesen and Azudu come back, does Glowinski go to the bench, you think, Chris, or no?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I don't think so. If anything, Nick Gates might go to the bench for Bredesen.
Yeah.
Unless he's going to slide Gates over to center, but unless Gates slides over to center for Feliciano. No, I don't see
it. Yeah, I'm just curious. Yeah.
Look, Glowinski's a decent guard. That's all he is. Yeah, he's a decent guard, you know. And you've seen him play well at times, and you've seen him get up sacks like yesterday and get beat on all that.
Yeah.
You know, that's – look, the interior of the offensive line, Jerry, is something that's going to be addressed in this offseason. There's no question about it. You know, even Gates was struggling at times yesterday, man. Yeah. I mean, he was getting winged around a lot of times. You know, that was the potential was there with those two beasts in the middle.
Monsters.
You know? And he dominated monsters at times. They had a big negative tackle on Barkley.
Yeah.
In a key situation.
-5, I think, on that play. 3 or 5.
Sacks on key situation. You know what I mean? I think when Payne had that big sack on Daniel in a big situation, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, look, that we all know that was an issue. And, you know, Daniel did a lot of good things with his legs, man. He gained over 60 yards rushing, and he was a big factor in the offense. And, look, I thought Barkley, they did a lot of power gap running, counters. Look, I'm no expert, bro, but to me, going up that middle, doing those gap runs against those guys in the middle, and then you got Jamon Davis and Bostic behind them, you're asking a lot. To me, I thought they were going to attack outside zone way more. They didn't. They decided to go the other way, whatever. Barkley couldn't run the ball, you know, 3 times. You know, it's just Barkley has not been a factor.
Not at all.
In the running game at all, the last 3-4 weeks. So.
Nope.
And when they can't get him going, you know, it's tough. It's tough for this offense, man. It really is.
Yeah, and then the I thought when you combine all the yardage Jones had, it was about 270, 260, whatever it was, I thought he had a good game, man. I don't know where the Jones hate is weird for me. Like, I think he's, if anything, Jones is solidifying himself more and more as an option for this franchise going forward every week. Especially yesterday, I just thought he was so efficient. And it's obvious to me that they're not taking chances because, like you said, offensive line, but also no weapons in receiving. Like you said, Bellinger in the flat and Darius Slayton down the field, but nothing else, right? Like, look what it took to complete the ball to Richie James. And then, I mean, Hodges is nice. Like you always say, he's a nice player. This guy's a nice player, but he's a fourth or fifth receiver on another team. He's our second receiver right now. So that just tells you the state of affairs in the passing game. But with Barkley, Chris, I hate to ask you again, but it's like 3 weeks in a row. Is the season just wearing on him at this point, you think? Or is it an offensive line thing? What do you think?
I just think he doesn't have much room to run, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? If it was an injury, if it was when that one time he caught the ball in the flat, he just put his shoulder down and steamrolled.
Yes, he did.
The corner.
Yeah. He got like a 9-yard gain when it should have been like 3 or 4.
Right. He was determined to try to get to the sticks in one play. It's just not much. You know, it's tough when you don't have receivers, man. You know, defenses are gearing up for you. And you know, the holes just haven't been there. You know, at times, he's just not really fine. So, is it I don't know. I look at some of the plays yesterday, and I see some burst in those legs. He just doesn't have really much to, you know, he doesn't have much to work with. Offensive line, you know, as far as opening holes, and you know, it just hasn't been there like it was early in the year, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Barkley's is a guy, like, if they don't get him going, man, you know, it's really tough because he's just not much to work with, you know. And Dable and Kafka are trying to do different things, man. They tried those little hide routes, you know, misdirection. They went after the rookie corner a few times yesterday, which was good. They got him with Hodgins, you know, and Slayton at one time, and they got him out of there. The Redskins got him out of there at halftime. But Jerry, it's just, there's not much there. And, you know, and for people who think they're going to, you know, all right, well, let's get rid of Jones. Jones ain't the answer. Okay. You're entitled to your opinion, but guess what? They're playing them. They've played themselves out of a top draft pick this year with this record. They're probably going to win 8 or 9 games. You know, they're probably going to wind up with 8 or 9 wins. The Giants, so at least 8. I'm going to give them at least the Indy game at home, and maybe Washington on the road, and maybe even Philly the last game of the year, depending on what Philly's playing for. You know, so you're playing yourself out of those top quarterback. You know, totally, the Bryce Youngs,
totally.
C.J. Strouds, if you like him. There's a couple other kids that people like. You know, so you're playing yourself out of that. So, folks, there's no other, you know, there's no other options here, you know, for people who don't want Daniel. The Giants have played themselves into, yeah, we're bringing Daniel back because they really don't have any other choice. There's nobody else out there. And Daniel hasn't done anything where you looked at him and say, okay, he's definitely not the answer next year. No, he's played himself more into, hey, we got to get this kid freaking weapons. You know, and their pass pro, especially in the interior of the line, has not been good. You know, you can't have your guards getting blown up one-on-one, bro. You know, so.
I'm going to stay on Daniel Jones, Chris, one second. Guys, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Chris Bisignano and Jerry Foley. We'll be right back after this. Hang on one second.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back, folks. You are listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the biz, Bisignano. Daniel Jones. I think what he's proven this year is you can win with him. I don't see the, you know, people jump on him on Twitter. I really don't get it. I mean, I know he fumbled and fumbled the first series, but outside of that, everything else he did I thought was smart, and he's holding on to the ball better. He's not throwing it, not throwing caution into the wind into like quadruple coverage. I mean, like I said, the pass to James was beautiful. But look, give him a receiver, man. Give him some time. I would love to see the Giants have a Garrett Wilson on their team, see what he can do. Just have one receiver. Yeah. And I say that for the Jet fans because he's on my fantasy team. My God, Garrett Wilson, what a late-round gem he's been. But, man, give me something like that. Give us something like that where we have an outside threat because, look at Philly. Look at all the receivers they have. Like, it's insane. We have nothing. And I don't know how you come out of yesterday's game saying Jones isn't the guy. So that's where I am with Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he was a 10 of 11 at halftime. The only incompletion was the clock.
Yeah.
With the clock, right? I mean, yeah. They're asking, you know, they're tailor-made in the offense, you know, for what the receivers they have and what Daniel could do. But, you know, like you said, you know, I know he had the fumble, but he hasn't been a turnover machine this year.
Right.
You know, he's made so many, like you said, the throw to James, he's made so many nice throws, too, tight balls. He got Bellinger back. That'll help him a little bit as we move forward. He just doesn't have any, like you said, Jerry, you know, forget Garrett Wilson. I'll take Corey Davis of the Jets. I'll take Elijah Moore for the Jets and put him out there. You know, I mean, there's nobody like that.
You know, and the throws to Slayton downfield, it's not like Slayton's running wide open, guys. I mean, he's putting in a spot where Slayton can come down with it. No?
Yeah, I mean, Slayton's got to come down with that ball.
And the other bomb, too. He wasn't wide open. I mean, Slayton made an adjustment, but the corner was on Slayton. So, yeah, it's not like he's running free and Jones is hitting him there. The only one receiver ran free this year, Sterling Shepard, game one, where he hit him for, a 65-yard bomb. That's it for me. That's the only one I've seen. Other than that, nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, Jerry? I just want people to think about this for a second, right? How many times – we've now played 12 games, right? Mm. How many times have you seen a receiver wide open in a secondary?
Once. I just said it. One
think
time.
About it. Just One. Think. I mean, you see these other games, right? And you see guys get, look at him. He's wide open. How many times have you seen receivers wide open for the Giants this year in 12 games?
Yeah.
Where you say, oh, man, he was wide open. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once, like you said? Maybe we're missing one, Jerry. We can't think of off the top of our heads.
I'm sure someone's gonna post. Oh, he missed him here. Okay, but
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna tell you this too.
Yeah,
and this is something I learned early in the year from some people that I've talked to. Okay, I know everybody's got this all 22 film, and they all think they're experts, and they're all out there. Oh, look, this guy was wide open. Daniel missed him. Oh, look at this. I got the all. I paid for the all 22. Look, I got the end zone view. This guy was wide open. Oh, folks, I've learned this because I did this too in the years past. Oh, how did he miss that? He's what? You don't know what goes on a play unless you're sitting there next to Dable and Jones and watching the coach's film saying, okay, this is what happened. Because so many times you might think you see, oh, there was a guy. That guy might not even be supposed to be there. I said this early in the year when Tony was here. He ran a route. I was the first one. Oh, man, right. He missed Tony. Yeah. He missed Kadarius. He was Kadarius Tony wasn't even supposed to be there. He ran the wrong route. Daniel didn't even know he was going to be there.
It was the Panther game. Yep.
So what I'm saying is if people go, you know all these all, if this all 22, if they stop and they're talking about maybe not putting it out in the public anymore, then people are going to be like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now, you know? Because they look at it and they're like, oh, Daniel missed this guy. Oh, they missed this guy. Well, you know what? I've learned, unless I know for sure from day one, like, you know, don't guess what the play or why he should have been there.
Yeah.
Okay, or he missed this. He might have been a third option. You know, you don't know. There's a story behind. There's a story within a story of every play. Okay, so getting back to, like, dude, I mean, how many times can we really, you know, say, hey, you hit a guy that was wild? You know, not many. That's the situation here. You know, that's what you dealt with. You know, with these type, you got Richie James, you got Sills back in today. You know, I think he played one play. You know, Marcus Johnson's barely playing. And you got Isaiah Hodgins off the street a couple weeks ago and guys like that. And Galladay didn't play yesterday. And he's been a non-factor anyway, you know. So, yeah. It's and Jerry, you know, another guy they missed yesterday, dude, was Darnay Holmes. I mean, you know. I know Darnay's not the greatest slot guy. He'll get beat one-on-one. But, dude, he's still better than Zion Gilbert. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You missed Holmes. So, you know, Holmes got the shoulder issue, and he couldn't go yesterday. You know,
that was
even
a late
guy,
one, too. That was a surprise one, right?
And one thing, yeah, I thought he was going to play, Jerry. You know, that was a surprise and active. But, obviously, the shoulder, he couldn't go. But you got to remember something about Darnay, too, dude. He will tackle you, okay?
Yeah.
He will get you to the ground.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of that not happening yesterday, and it really hurt them. You know, Terry McLaurin is real good.
Awesome.
You know, and you better put a hat on him in an open space because he's going to make you, you know. And the rookie Dotson, don't get me wrong, the kid's going to have a good future for Washington. But that two missed tackles, one McLeod just like kind of threw his arm at him.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for the technique, getting the arms out, looking at, you know, light him up, or at least get him to the ground, slow him up forever. I mean, he just threw the arm out on him. Dude, that's amateur shit. You know? That's guys who, you know, and don't get me wrong, Nick McLeod is giving him some good, you know, don't forget, they're throwing him out on the outside, and he's, you know, he's hasn't embarrassed himself. You know, he's kind of held his own, but little things that you see plays like that, and you say to yourself, well, guess what? Aaron Robinson, how physical he is, he probably brings him down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys like that, so.
And now that you're on corner, let's stay there with Rodarius Williams. I think he put out a tweet. He had no snaps yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Jerry, I don't. I wish I could tell you, but I'm sure if you ex-Dable about it, he's gonna say, well, you know, every week there's different game plans. He just didn't fit into, you know, whatever it was. I tell you, one kid who saved the game for them, who might have saved the game for them, was Cordell Flott with that tackle.
The tackle, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That third down tackle, he got off that block.
Huge.
That was huge.
Textbook. Yeah.
That was huge.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, so there's a kid that did step up and make a play for them. You know, because if he doesn't make that tackle, I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah. You mentioned it before.
I'm sorry, Jerry. But, you know, third down defense for the Giants, much better yesterday. They got back to being what they were early in the year. I think Washington, let me look at it. I think they were 3 or 14 or something. Excuse me. I'm just going to look it up here. I think 3 or 14, you know, on third down. That's good. That gets them off the field. But the offense, look, the second half, they had 45. And second half of regulation, Jerry, they had 45 yards of offense.
Yeah.
That's not getting it done, bro.
No, it's terrible. That's what I'm saying is the offense, terrible.
And Saquon, negative runs, you know, he's getting blasted. Thank God for Daniel's legs. He got him some yards, but it's just not getting it done, you know. 45 yards in the second half. That means Washington's on the field a lot.
Yeah.
So it's a credit. You know, I know they gave up that fourth down play and all that, but the defense If without them in the second half, they lose this game, man.
Totally. They lose this game. And even the touchdown in the first half was off a turnover. Right. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, I'm sorry. No, they got a field goal there. But
yeah, they held them to the field goal. Yeah.
But defense, it was great to see Azeez Ojulari come back and have such an impact the way he did. Like, I just thought, you know, his pass rushing, even when he didn't get there, he was getting close. And he just, this was the compliment to Thibodeau that we wanted all year long. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Thibodeau had a great game, too. I mean, Thibodeau's been coming on lately, but just having that other threat on the other side, dude, that's what we envisioned all year. And it was nice to finally see it yesterday. I mean, the bend he showed on his sack, somebody put it out on Twitter, where it's incredible. I mean, he's a good pass rusher, man. And thank God he's back.
Yeah, he showed that a lot. I remember watching him in Georgia and then watching him a lot when he came out, Jerry. He showed that little dip and when he dips down with that left shoulder. It kind of gets underneath the tackle's arm. But, you know, he showed that a lot in Georgia. I was like, oh, that's a, you know, and he showed it yesterday, man. You know, look, Azeez is real good, bro.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know, he just hasn't been on the field this year. But I got to be honest with you, Jerry. I didn't think he was going to play that much.
Yeah, right. He's missed, he played way more than I thought, yes.
He played 49 snaps or 47 snaps.
Yeah.
I even asked him. You know, I asked him after the game in his press, and I said, well, you're surprised that you got that many snaps. And he was like, well, you know, we kind of went along with it. I felt good, so I kept playing, because I was. I thought he was going to get like, you know, 20-something snaps, kind of work, ramp him up a little bit. Right. But from my understand, Jerry, is that, you know, a few times, like, yo, you're good. And Azeez kept coming back to the side and going, I'm fresh, I'm good.
Right.
You know, and they ran him out there a little bit more than I thought they were going to run him out. Well, which was good because Azeez played. And it was fun. And how about that play, too? I mean, the strip sack.
Oh, yeah, then recovering the fumble.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was a clean hat trick, as we like to call it, the strip sack recovery. Yeah. And then I find out a little while later, because, you know, you miss stuff up in the booth at times. You really do, you know. Yeah. That Azeez actually recovered it, and then he fumbled.
Right.
And then Azeez recovered his fumble, you know. So just tenacious, bro, right? Tenacious.
Yeah.
And I think everybody got a little taste of the future there, Jerry, yesterday, where you're going to have Thibodeau on one side, you're going to have Azeez on the other side, you're going to have Leo and Dex up that middle. And I tell you, man, that's going to be a pretty damn good foursome for next year, man. Health, you know, God willing, health-wise, you know. That's a pretty good. You got guys, you know, everybody knows what Dex is doing this year, pushing that pocket up the middle.
Yeah.
And everybody got a taste of what Thibodeau and Azeez are going to do off those edges. And that's a pretty, pretty positive sign for the future. No doubt about it, man.
And if you add a couple inside linebackers, it could be a lot of fun to watch. Because that is the biggest, to me, obviously, biggest need on the front seven, not even close. I mean, it's
not even close. They just consistently stop the run. You know, Washington with 146, Robinson had 91, whatever he had yesterday.
Yeah.
They just, you know, just having a problem. You know, you need those linebackers, dude. You need those linebackers. Especially when they start doubling guys up front like Dex and they're doubling off those gap runs or Leo.
Yeah.
You need those guys filling that gap. Boom. You know, filling that. Boom. And Jalen will do it at times, you know. Yeah. And McFadden has been pretty good at times, too. He's played a lot, McFadden. He played a lot yesterday. Tate Crowder's out of the rotation, you know.
He's tweeting about it, too.
Yeah. Who was? Tate Crowder?
Yeah, Tate Crowder said, release me or something. Or
Free me.
I don't know, man. It's like, okay, Tay, you're not, you know, whatever.
Yeah, anyway. So I guess he's not happy. You know?
Yeah, okay. Him and Darius are tweeting, so.
Yeah. I wish these guys would stay the hell off Twitter, man, after games. You know, I really do, man. You know, it is what it is. I'm sure that didn't go over well with the coach's staff. I didn't see that. I didn't see Tate Crowder's tweet.
I'll find
it. I did see somebody brought to my attention Rodarius Williams. I did see his. Yeah. I did not see Tay's, but I wish guys would stay the hell off freaking Twitter, you know. Wait till everybody cools down. Give it a day, you know what I mean? Talk it over with the coaching staff. Don't put it on to everybody, you know, so it could see. It's not a good look for the players. I wish you would stop doing that, but it is what it is. Today's world. But yeah, listen.
Yeah, he tweeted "Free me" #, the Reaper, and then he put prayer sign.
That's Tay Crowder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously he feels, you know, he's not happy with his playing time and all that.
Yeah. So. Anyway.
Yeah. So. It is what it is.
That's got to be an upgrade.
It is what it is, but you know, you it's tough, man, because they're giving up 130, 140, 120, every game,
So. But I when I woke up this morning, it's just the game was, it was there. Could have easily won that one. But you wake up this morning and you think, man, I think you said it before, I cannot wait until they have an off season where they can add to this and a salary cap. And we talk about it a lot, but I mean, yesterday was a prime example of just if you had a little more talent. And like you said, even if you had the talent that's already on the team, you'd probably win that game if you had the healthy Jackson or healthy McKinney. But especially on offense, dude, like add a receiver, one interior lineman, upgrade that, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, we'll probably put up 27, 30 points in a game. I just cannot wait for the offseason to add to this team, dude, because it is just the talent level is just it's bottom of the barrel. It is.
On offense, especially.
Yeah.
Defense, they got some talent, no question. They need to add some pieces. Defense, but they have talent on defense. You know, you see these guys up front.
Right.
But offense is just, you got Andrew Thomas, obviously he's excellent. And Evan Neal looks like he's going to be a keeper. But everybody else could be upgraded, right?
That's amazing.
Totally. Wide receiver needs to be upgraded. And even, look, I like Bellinger, and he's definitely going to be a part of this future. But even, even a guy that can run those seams, can run those crisp, a little quicker tight end, can run those routes, you got to compliment tight end like that.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to have to go, obviously. But, Jerry, I said this last week, it's amazing, dude, and that Dable and Wink and this staff has his team 7-4-1.
Yeah.
Especially when the injuries started coming, and I get it. They lost three of the last four, one tie, all that crap. But still, here they are. And this team has no right being 7-4-1.
No.
And has it been a perfect operation and perfect process with Dable at times during course of games? No, but it's still, when these teams starts getting these guys they want in, Jerry, these guys they draft, and of course free agency, it's going to be a different story, bro. Because I know I see some Dable negativity out there, and I get it. Everybody has a right to say, look, he should have did this. I said it yesterday. I was the first one to put it out there. That was a strange sequence at the end of the half, but folks, coaching is the main reason why this team is still playing meaningful December games.
Yeah, I mean, Dable can call 97% of the right plays among, offense and defense, right? Wink and Kafka. And it's not enough because it needs to be 100, and that's completely unfair. It's just no one calls a perfect game. So, the reality is through the first however many games, he was pretty damn close. And now that there's a couple plays where you're like, well, we would have done it differently this way. What's Dable doing? You've almost gotten used to literal perfection from the Giants coaching staff because that's what it takes for this team to win.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, it's little things like, say Fabian Moreau tackles McLaurin there, right, in the first drive, right?
Yeah.
Now you got first down, I think it would have been, whatever. But now you have a chance to hold them to a field goal.
Right.
Which Wink's defense has been excellent at this year in the red zone, right?
Right.
So you hold them to a field goal there, Jerry. The Giants win this game.
Yes. Yep.
It's just... If the Jahan Dotson reception, right? If Zion Gilbert brings him down, the first missed tackle, if he brings him down, now you're giving the defense an opportunity to keep him out of the end zone.
Right.
And now, that field goal is the difference. Giants win the game. So it's tough, dude, because they're playing a lot of backups, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Zion Gilbert's like third string. You know what I mean? I mean, he's like, McLeod's, these guys, it's really...
No. I don't think any level-headed Giants fan can go in and expect perfection from their secondary when you see who the hell they're lining up. Like, Chris, I got to be honest with you. Their slot corner yesterday, it was like, who? Oh, okay. Right. The guys we add and move from the practice squad to the active roster, back again, it's like, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and pregame warmups, Jerry, that's when they put the starters out there in that pregame warmup. And I saw Gilbert in a slot in pregame, and I was like, I said, they're going to go with Gilbert in a slot here,
Right. At one point, I'm like, well, we get Dante Deion back?
Yeah, it was It was, you know, and don't get me wrong, Gilbert did a couple of good things yesterday. He wasn't horrific.
Again, but, I'm not expecting him to be that great.
Right, exactly. You know, but look, that 4th-and-3, I don't know how you felt about it. I know a lot of people are really getting on Dable about, you know, he's aggressive all year. Why are you not aggressive there? And I think we talked about it, like, you know, if he look, like Dable even said after the game, you know, I wanted to pin him deep and maybe get another shot at the ball instead of taking that chance and setting him up if we don't convert it. Yeah. And look, let's get a few things. You know, it did go as planned. Mm-hmm. Jamie Gillen finally gets a good punt, pins him deep.
Right?
Tibbs
gets
the...
You almost had a turnover on the sack. Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, I mean, Tibbs blasted Heinicke.
Blasted him.
Heinicke holds on to the ball, and they get the ball back with 20-something seconds, 28 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it was. They did a few hits, Isaiah Hodge, and they did get this. They did set up a 58-yard field goal.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and I'm gonna let time go by, and then I'm gonna break Graham's balls about it a little bit in the locker room about, oh, so I guess you got to be on Carolina to make a 60-something. You know, I am gonna, but obviously I wasn't doing that after the game yesterday. You know, it's very emotional after the games. You don't do crap like that.
Yeah.
But the south end there, the wind was blowing a little bit, and it changed. I'll tell you why, because Graham Gano, in pregame was draining 58-yard field goals.
Yeah.
He was making them. I was consistently making them. I was watching him. Yeah. Now, it's always a difference in a pregame where a guy, you know, he's got it on the tee, you know, on the tee holder.
Blasting it. Right. Yeah.
Sure. Right. As opposed to, you know, the 11 guys coming at you in a big situation. And then the wind, like he talked about it, and you saw Jerry, the last issue. He talks about how the winds kick up during the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't, you know, he said, you know, the ball was just dying on the south end, you know. It was just dying in that south end of the field. And he didn't get enough into it. He had it in line, but it was just a little short, you know. So the Giants, like Dable said, he wanted to kind of pin him deep and maybe get that stop and get that ball back for a last second shot. And that's exactly what happened. It just didn't work out. If Gano makes that field goal, we're not even having this conversation. You know?
And I got to give him credit. Richie James had a decent punt return to put him in good position, and he had that catch on that ridiculous pass from Jones. So as mad as I was the series before where he and Barkley ran into each other, he came. Even Richie James came up kind of big on the punt return and the catch. So
yeah,
the talent is what it is, dude. But when that, and also...
That was an ugly look when they ran into each other. That was an ugly look.
Oh, God. It was, oh, God, what are we doing? Oh, my God. Yeah. But the kick, when you're watching it on TV and you see it straight on, you know, everyone's throwing their hands up like, oh, no, it's short. I mean, I'm sure much different at the stadium, you could kind of probably see right away, like, that's not going to make it. Yeah. Whereas on TV, I'm like, holy crap, we're going to win this? No, we didn't.
Right, okay. Right. I mean, I was going to ask you that. I would imagine when you watched it on TV, you probably thought it was going to go through at first, right?
Three text messages. Good, good, good. Watching the game with somebody. Perfect. So everybody thought it was good.
Yeah. And it's funny, Jerry, because like you just said, up in the booth, as soon as it left his foot, we were like, that's short. You could just tell it was short. You know, as soon as it left his foot. As soon as... I would say maybe a quarter away to the... You just said, up. We were all like, no good. You could just tell it was going to be short. But it is what it is, man.
Last thing. I just want to ask you one question. It seemed like the crowd was dead when that game started. Were they?
I tell you what. It wasn't as loud as some other games.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But they were pretty loud in the second half, man. Okay, cool. It was loud in the second half, because there was a time I said to the guy next to me, I said, man, this crowd is rocking. You know, in some key situations, third downs, fourth downs and all, they were pretty loud, man. They were pretty loud. It just seemed like the crowd came out of the gate a little slow, like, you know?
Yeah, no, it felt that way watching it on TV. It just felt like, well, they're not even into it yet. Like, this is not, oh, and then Jones fumbled. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's just all-inclusive. Yeah.
Jerry, you know what really took the wind out of the sails when Jones fumbled, right?
Yeah.
And Washington went up 10-0.
Yeah.
That really, I think the feeling was like, oh, we're going down this game, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it was like that kind of took a lot of the wind out of the sails and people coming in. Yeah. But I tell you what, man, they were loud in the second half. For you people were there.
Good. Nice.
If I could hear how loud it is in the booth, I could just imagine what it was like on the field, you know?
Nice.
So, they got it going. That Jones fumble took the wind out of a lot of sails, man.
Sure.
You know, yeah, so.
Absolutely.
And look, when it was 10-0, when they made it 10-0, Jerry, at the McLaurin touchdown, and the Giants got the ball back, you know, we were basically saying, hey, they better move the ball here, man. They better not go three and out, or this one's going to get ugly fast, you know?
Yeah.
And they did. They responded, you know, and they kind of got the field goal, and they kind of got it going a little bit more, and they tied the game, so. It is what it is, dude. 7-4-1, tie. Nobody wants to tie. It felt like a loss, though. That even Washington felt like a loss. You could see Rivera. I was reading Washington's transcripts after the game. Rivera and some of the players, and they were like, like, what the hell, man? That was, you know, it felt like a loss to them too. Rivera wasn't happy. They'll see each other in 2 weeks, bro, and they're probably going to get some reinforcement, you know, a little help with Chase Young back. Not that they really even need it, but they're going to get that'll help them even more, you know.
The rumor is that game gets moved to Saturday night, so we'll see.
Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, Jerry, that's going to be quite a battle in game in Washington too, man. You know, no question about it. When's the shootout happen? I was like, when the hell's the shootout start?
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing, Jerry. Like, we're all up in a booth, like, and the game ends in a tie. It's like, what do we do now? It's a tie. All right, let's go downstairs. You know, it was the strangest feeling, bro. It really was, yeah. You know.
It's amazing. The last time they tied was against Washington in 97.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I believe that was the Gus Frerotte game, right? When
he ran into the wall head first. Yeah. Boom. Concussed.
Something about these Washington games, man. It's amazing. So, 7-4-1. The Eagles coming in next week. Man, I thought the Tennessee was going to upset them yesterday. I couldn't be more wrong. The Eagles totally smoked them, you know. And they're a juggernaut right now. And, you know, that's like a buzzsaw coming in next Sunday. So
let's talk about that end of the week. I don't want to ruin the rest of my day. So, anyway. Anything else, pal?
No, anything else you could think of before we wrap this up?
No, just we'll see where this goes. But the roster is what it is. And still can make something of the season, but it's just you feel a lot different than you did 3 weeks ago. It's like, wow, you know, the Detroit, Washington, those were the ones you figured you'd win. Didn't win either one. Tied one, didn't win Detroit.
Tied one, that sounds weird.
It is weird. It feels like a loss. And then Dallas is what, you know, Dallas is Dallas. So, Jeff Saturday, that honeymoon's over, huh? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So any of you people out there think you're going to get hired off the street as a head coach of a professional football team, probably not going to happen now.
Unless you play the Raiders your first week, it's not going to be that successful for you.
Yeah, and if they played the Raiders now, the Raiders would probably beat them by 30. So that's the way this league is. That's incredible.
Yep. All right, good stuff. We'll probably come back Friday for the next one. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magzter for a digital subscription. That's MAGZTER. Hang in there, guys. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.